We are preparing to take each check-in momentarily.
Very low signal. Give them a try. Okay, Dan, I'm not too sure that I have the patience either, but I'm going to give it a shot. All right, at this time, I'll stand by. Let me just my slouch, okay, for any additional stations I would like to check in.
But I'm just getting just about a squelch break out here.
All right, Dan, I don't know, I can't seem to pick them up and I have the squelch all the way open. Let me try one more time. Sunday, June 13th, is the Limark Ham Fest at Briarcliff College. And they will be giving VE test sessions. So you may want to come down and take the exam for the no-code tech. If you're interested, if you are a technician and you're interested in upgrading to a Tech Plus. The Wantagh Amateur Radio Club is offering an 8-week class on Saturdays for code. And for further information, you can contact Sid K2LJH. Either look him up in the call book or I'll give you his email address. It's all one word, Sid, S-I-D, K2LJH. At Juno, that's JUNO.com. And it's a nominal $15 fee for the 8-week class. You do need to register, and it does start this Saturday at the Wantagh Library. So you'd have to move on that tomorrow to see if they could accommodate you.
They should be getting delivery very, very shortly, the first or second week of June, to put two more paramedics out on the road. They're going to cover the north end of Islip Town, which is Brentwood, and up along the expressway, and south of the expressway. And that's scheduled to begin probably July 1st. June, the vehicles are due in. I don't know if they're coming in all outfitted or if they have to be sent out, but that's coming down the pike.
That's interesting information. I guess it's a real successful program out there. I mean, I remember reading in the papers, Dan, going back, even 10 years ago, reading about a lot of problems on a countywide basis out there with whoever was running EMS services for the county. I guess it was some doctor, and they were on his case, and they let him go. And there always seemed to be some kind of staffing as well as a response time problem with all of the various different agencies. Is there any am I recollecting correctly, or this is going back a long time?
No, Danny, you're recalling exactly, and the problem is exacerbated a little bit in this period of time due to the fact of lack of people. The retention rate is not what it should be, and that is probably due in part to the increased demands, the great amount of time in requalifying every 3 years, and just the economy in general. You know, the mom and dad is working, just the time involved. A big part of it is once you get your patient to the hospital, the turnaround time in the emergency room is less than desirable.
KC2DHF, KC2AYC in the net. You know, I was going to ask you what kind of role the economy, or just society in general, changes in society probably plays a lot into all volunteer based services, be it EMS, fire, or even, you know, people volunteering at the library or what have you, because the greater demands, you know, your generation, people kind of put in a 40-hour week, or so I was led to believe, especially union workers, you know, you put in your time and you came home and then you had your time off to do these different things. Mom was home taking care of the house. Now you've got both parents working, both working a lot of hours, especially people in retail and management, 6 days, or if they're working 5 days, you know, it's very rare you find the 8-hour day anymore. So I guess the free time on hand to volunteer is diminished when you got all these different things. You know, and as kids, we went out in the street and played, you know, in front of the house, in the driveway with the kids. Now these days, kids are going to soccer, they're going here, they're going there, and the parents got to drive them. So, a lot of changes. But it's good to hear that the North Shore plan is working out, and I got your email on the additional information a couple weeks ago. About the fleet code being 1280. There's a secondary fleet code as well, Dan?
Yes, there is. It's the other published one for fire, rescue, and emergency services. I forget what the number is offhand. But they're primarily using the 1230, I think it is.
I think it's 1280. But it's been a while. I haven't been out to visit Frank in a while. Usually I get out there. And for a while, I was getting out there once a week or every other week. I don't think I've been out to see him in about 3 months. I saw him last week at the meeting. But when we get together, we've been doing things, either going to meetings. Went to the Mid-Island meeting last month, but you know, we haven't had time to just sit at his kitchen table with the scanner. Speaking of the Mid-Island meeting, this Tuesday, which I believe is June 1st, is the next Mid-Island Amateur Radio Club meeting, and trying to find out where it is here. Okay, the next meeting will be June 1st at the New Village Recreation Center, located at 20 Wireless Road in Center Reach at 7:30 p.m. And it's a good group of people. Frank and I have a good time over there. 20 Wireless Road in Center Reach. And they have an excellent coverage repeater system on 440 on UHF. the Peter, there's an east repeater that's linked with a west repeater, one being out in the Selden Center Reach area, the other one, the linked one being here in Glen Oak. So basically with an HT you can talk from anywhere in the city to, with the exception of probably Staten Island and deep into Brooklyn. So you can talk from Nassau and Queens and probably part of the Bronx. With an HD, you could be talking to somebody all the way out. They say it goes into the Hamptons if you've got a good antenna. So something to think about. Again, that's June 1st at 20 Wireless Road. And as long as we're talking about them, July 11th, they'll host Summerfest 99, which is their summer Hamfest, at the Knights of Columbus Hall located at 9 Railroad Avenue in Patchogue. That's June 11th at 9 Railroad Avenue in Patchogue at the Knights of Columbus. All right, let me stand by for any additional check-ins at this time.
This is KB2YTF, Scott, hello, Ed in the net. No traffic at this point.
Okay, the net would like to recognize Scott, KB2YTF. Good evening, Scott. Long time no here. Of course, we see you on the computer from time to time. Hopefully, the change from Tuesday might have helped you out there. I know you're busy with the work schedule. And one thing Dan and I were just talking about, people being caught short on time. We were talking about people volunteering for the different ambulance corps. Hope you're doing well, Scott.
Yeah, sure am, Ed. Sure am. The switch with Thursday, I see the whole thing is I work Thursday, which in a way is good. On Tuesdays, I had family obligations, and I only see them two nights a week, so it kind of was hard to get on the net. But Thursday, I can come in, I can listen, and I might disappear real fast if I get a machine stop, but with the Thursday, it does allow me to come in and join the net. Hopefully pretty soon, talking about time schedules, hopefully pretty soon I'll even be able to turn on the scanner. I've had all the radio gear except for the ham radio gear disconnected the past 4 or 5 months. This time has just been real tough on things lately, so hopefully I'll be able to get a new beginning pretty soon. Back to net.
Okay, it's good to hear you in there. Feel free to join us as time allows. All right, at this point, I'll stand by for any additional check-in.
This is WA2MAT.
The net would like to recognize WA2MAT. Good evening. Anyone else? KC2AYC. One other item I'd like to, two items actually I'll bring up. Then take check-ins again, and if there's no one, we'll just close out. But I happened to run across an email that Rich Barnett had sent out on the news group with Uniden's permission regarding some of the features of the upcoming Bearcat 245, and it's going to be quite an interesting radio. Still 300 channels like the Bearcat 235, set up in 10 bands. However, we'll start with some of the easy features. The service search feature, right now the 235 has police, emergency services, fire combined, I guess. The marine band, weather band. They're going to be adding another band to this, the railroad radio band. And when it stops on an active frequency, it'll show the frequency as well as the designated railroad channel, all railroad channels have specific designation. That's kind of an interesting feature. KC2AYC, and an additional feature that's going to allow you to scan and monitor GE, the older General Electric, or now they've been bought out by Ericsson, EDAC trunk system, which is the type that the Nassau County local government employs, as well as the New York State Police in Manhattan. They have the Metro 21 system. Additionally, it'll let you, right now, the current trunk tracker, you can only scan one trunk system at a time. This will let you scan all 10 banks, up to 10 trunk systems at a time. It'll also let you scan a mix of conventional frequencies and trunk systems. And you can even program conventional frequencies into blank spaces on the trunk bank. So, it's also going to have, I believe, PC capability where your computer upload and download frequencies. And also a feature called Smart Scan where you're going to actually be able to hook in by modem to a phone number, and you'll, I think by zip code, you'll be able to upload the current frequencies to your area. Again, that's only as good as the database it comes from. Generally, you get more accurate information from places right here on the net, or the Wednesday night net, or you know, mailing lists on the news groups and mailing lists like Scancom. That's the rundown on the new trunk tracker. Hopefully it'll be released in another month or two. At this point, I'll stand by for anyone with any additional info.
Ed, I'm waiting for that radio to come out. It sounds real good. I have two questions. One, are you picking up the Scanners group at all? And two, if I may, what's the latest as far as this whole Bill Cheeks issue going? If that can't be discussed on air, just let me know and I'll withdraw the question. Haven't heard anything about it, and I think it's going to have a big play on what's allowed and what's not and, as far as what we do on the radio.
KC2AYC in the net. Okay. Well, one, I'm not getting the Scanners list. If in your spare time, if you'll be kind to email me the info on it. I had gotten that a while ago. It just got, I'm subscribed to too many lists, Scott. I'm just, now I'm starting to subscribe to digest versions of some of the lists. I've been subscribed, I unsubscribed from ScanL for a while. Kind of trying to stay with the more local lists. I was on TrunkCom, and I subscribed to the digest version, because I guess after the first 2 or 3 months that the trunk tracker was out, pretty much stuff got stale. It's kind of like repetitive. But my latest thing is the VX5 list, because I bought a VX5 out in Dayton, which right now is sitting at Yaesu out in California. It's immediately got sent in for a minor repair of the speaker. Interesting story I'll tell you when I turn it back to you today on the next go-around. As far as the Cheek situation, I've heard nothing new. Let me reset. There were two emails Bill had sent out. One, I guess, several days after the incident happened, basically just describing the events kind of in detail from like the knock on the door to what the next few days entails as far as, you know, the stuff getting rummaged through. It was very early in the morning, and him and his wife were, you know, like not even dressed and what have you. So then the second email that went out, one of the emails talked about not knowing how to handle the financial things with the lawyers, because he really didn't have the money for a lawyer, but he didn't want people sending him donations either. Then I read somewhere that there was another email sent out where he was selling his radio tower and some radio equipment. So evidently he was trying to raise cash. But the whole thing's really been tight with, and, you know, that's okay. I guess that's the way it has to be. Don't know, you know, there's nothing really more to add. A lot of people, you know, speculate, and it was the rage of all the internet news groups, but the saying goes, this too shall pass. Back to you, Scott.
Yeah, okay, I got those two emails, and I never heard anything from it since. The only reason why I really give a hoot about any of it is just the legal aspect of it. You know, you're taking a signal, which technically it's a computerized digital signal, but technically it's in the clear, and they're saying that it's they're saying it's illegal to pick that up. I don't do that form. I just hoot about MDTs and stuff like that, but it, you know, something like that may carry it over to something like one of my interests, which is ACARS. And as you know, with ACARS, he did same type of deal. Been decoding them for years, and you don't need the specialized taps or anything else like that, but still, it could carry over into that. So I was kind of curious on that.
JC2AYC, man. When I send it back, you just, I'm curious how my signal is. I've been having this interference intermittently over my neighborhood on VHF high band, but everybody tells me I get out okay, but I'm hearing a lot of static on the repeater tonight. And last night it was fine. It comes and goes. It's weird. Anyhow, yeah, I see your point. Also, like, how does that affect packet? You know, amateur radio listening to packet. And, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Because I think AOR, don't they now market a standalone ACARS reader? And look at Optoelectronics. Just like within the last year, released the OptoCom and the OptoTracker, and the OptoCom's got a built-in data slicer in it, and that was certified by the Federal Communications Commission. It's an FCC certified device. So, go figure. You know, the whole thing's weird. Scott.
Yeah, I thoroughly agree. It is weird. There are a lot of companies that do have data slicers out. Maybe that's the whole point right there. There'll be an, what do you call it, a bench junkie, so to speak. Had plans for one. Maybe it wasn't FCC certified. Maybe that's where they're going to really get them on. The other half of the case, which I won't bring up because local, I could see that with the information on the net, but I don't know, it's going to be very interesting. I have to prepare for a second, Ed. I have a machine call. I'll be back with you in a couple minutes. KB2, Internet Control.
Okay, Scott. We'll hopefully catch you shortly. Station 2AYC. At this point, I'll stand by for any additional check.
EC2, BGV Mobile, listening when I can, no info.
Net would like to recognize Bruce, KC2BGV. Good evening. All right. Be careful there behind the wheel.
Good evening.
Okay, I heard another good evening there. I don't know if that was Bruce coming back to me or second station that I may have doubled with. Let me stand by.
2XOJ. Hello, Ed.
I would like to recognize Alec, N2XOJ. Good evening. Alec, how is my signal this evening? 1, 2, 3. As far as white noise or anything like that.
There's the slightest bit of background noise. It's virtually undetectable, and unless you bring it to someone's attention, it's unnoticeable.
Okay. The noise over here is incredibly bad. As you may be aware, the last 2 months or so, there's some kind of interference in my neighborhood. I tend to think it's coming from the airport, but don't know if you remember seeing that leakage, the cable leakage detector I had with me last week. One of these days I'm going to employ its use and walk around the neighborhood with it and double check that it's not a cable leak. But it's intermittent. Last night the repeater was fine. It happens on more than one frequency, so I don't know. And it happens on more than one radio, not my receiver. In any event, glad you could join us. It was nice seeing you last week. And anything you have to report, any announcements for Aries or anything like that?
Well, now that you bring it up, first of all, I'd like to thank those stations that joined us for the Skywarn net that was run on Monday from 11:55 until 12:10. That was 11:55 a.m. to 12:10 p.m. Appreciate the stations that came by, and the Upton Forecast Office was appreciative of Nassau County's response. I'd like to mention that, of course, the Empire State Games are going to be in New York State this year. On Long Island for the first time in the history of the Empire State Games. And Diane Ortiz is looking for about 100 operators, so anyone who has available time on the 21st to the 25th of July, if they give me a call, I will get their name to Diane and she will get back to them. That's it, Ed, and 2XOJ.
N2XOJ, KC2AYC. Okay, just when is the next Aries meeting? I'm going to assume that's June 8th.
Correct. The next Aries meeting is Tuesday, the 8th of June.
And that's at Briarcliff College at 8 p.m., correct?
I'm going to pass on that one. It either is going to be there or at the Red Cross building here on Willis Avenue in Mineola. I don't know, but I will get the information for you. Certainly so that, let's say, the next net you can put it out if you like, or join us on the Wednesday evening net on this repeater at 8:30, and we'll find out directly.
Okay, very good. Any stations interested in attending an Aries meeting, you might want to tune in next Wednesday at 8:30 on this repeater. Speaking of Aries, I happen to get a trade publication called Radio Resource Magazine. And basically it's aimed at people in the communications field, business and public safety. And a lot of information about different people selling radios. And Alex, I'll save it for you. There, to my surprise, I've never seen anything amateur radio related, other than the fact that a lot of the corporations that sell radios are the same companies we're familiar with. They're just talking their commercial products in this magazine. But this was the first time in, I guess, a year and a half I've been reading this publication where they actually had an amateur radio article. Haven't read it yet, but it seems to be an article all about Aries. It's titled Amateur Radio Response Emergencies. And they discuss some different situations such as tornadoes, storms in Georgia, some tornadoes in Minnesota, Hurricane George's, and then they go into a little discussion on the ARRL field organization. They also mention the National Traffic System. So I think you're going to find this most interesting. Probably nothing new, but nice to see a little publicity in a non-ham radio publication.
Ned, I look very much forward to getting that article and reading it. Let me say to everyone that, as I think you know, the National Weather Service and others have predicted that this is going to be an exceptionally harsh summer for us on the eastern seacoast. They're anticipating, I believe, it is a total of 14 hurricanes, in which four will be considered major, that is a Category 3 or higher. As has been pointed out at the Skywarn meeting for years now, it's not a matter of if there is ever going to be a nasty hurricane coming up the coast, it's going to be when. There's no question it will happen, it's just a matter of when. And we in the Nassau County areas, as well as all the other areas, are consistently preparing for the eventuality of this bad weather. So anybody who wants to join us at any time at the Aries meeting and first of all meet the other individuals who will be around and get a flavor for what's going on and what's anticipated and what we'll have to do during a major storm, please don't hesitate to join us or give us a call and we'll talk to you on the phone. Ed, back to you, N2XOJ.
Okay, N2XOJ. Very good. Nice hearing from you. And I'm sure I'll be seeing you at one event or another. And I'll try to remember to bring this, but I am saving it for you. All right, was that KB2YTF?
Yes. I just want to ask XOJ. I don't listen to NWS anymore with that computer voice. Grinds on my nerves real bad. Has there been a time or date set up, or did I miss it, for the NASA Skywarn spotter training? Time to renew. It's a couple of years old.
Okay, to answer your question, yes, you missed the 1999 version, which was held on the 11th of May, as I recall. The next one here in Nassau County will be in the year 2000. However, there is a few courses that are still left to be given, including one during the first 10 days or so of June. I'm not sure exactly what date. At the Upton Forecast Office in Suffolk County, that's, I think, the closest to Nassau County at this point, which is yet to be given. So if you want to, get in touch with the National Weather Service at Upton and sign up for the Suffolk County course. If not, wait for the year 2000 and we'll be back again. And to XOJ.
Okay, fine business. I will contact them. Regardless of whether I get renewed this year or not, I still have the training, so it could come to some use. All right, back to net control. Thanks a lot.
WAYC here. Don't know if there was another station trying to get in, so at this time I'll stand by for any additional stations that would like to check in.
Ed, not for nothing, but when XRJ was talking, I did get a packet burst come over him. Wonder if that has anything to do with anything.
Yeah, I heard that too. Hmm. That's what that was. Yeah. Strange. All right. What else? Oh, yeah. We were talking about Skywarn. I was out at Dayton, and I stayed an extra day. I stayed with some friends out there in Ohio. The Monday after Dayton, we went cruising around we went from, I guess, the Dayton area down to Cincinnati and then down into northern Indiana. And it was a beautiful, sunny day. But then that afternoon, we were hearing weather reports that there was going to be some bad thunderstorms that night, and we had to drive back up to Columbus. And they had just, around Easter time, had gotten some tornadoes over there. So we tuned into the Skywarn net over there in the Dayton area, and we even checked into the net. So it was kind of interesting. Luckily, they had a few bad thunderstorm cells, and then everything kind of blew over without any damage. But it's real good there to get the training in when you have the opportunity. All right, one last item I can bring up this evening. I happen to pick up a book that you might find interesting, anybody listening. It's called The Ultimate Communications Handbook, 1999. Complete Scanner Reference Guide, and this is the second edition. Well, the name is a little misleading. Certainly, it's not the Complete Scanner Reference Guide. It's a good scanner reference guide. It's only 50 pages long, and it's, I guess it's about 4 inches by 5 inches. It fits nicely in your back pocket, so by far it's not the complete book that you would find like Monitor America or Scanamaster, but I'll give you a brief rundown of what's in here. It's certainly the kind of thing, in fact, a bunch of us bought them, and I commented as we were buying them, this is all stuff we've seen elsewhere. And then my friend says, yeah, but it's all in one place. Codes, phonetic alphabet, cue signals, time conversion table, which will convert universal time to each time zone in the U.S., PL frequencies, VHF and UHF frequency allocations, marine radio allocations, family radio allocations, wireless mic allocations, CB frequencies, NOAA allocations, several frequency allocations that we shouldn't be listening to, aeronautical radio allocations, 800 megahertz band plan, 1999 Winston Cup cars, NASCAR official allocations, GMRS, taxi, LoJack, body wires, UHF and VHF commercial, fast food frequencies, railroad frequencies, space shuttle allocations. That's basically it. So it's the kind of thing that we've all probably seen in one publication or another, but this puts it all at your fingertips and sells for $5.95. you can get it momentarily. Okay. $5.95 plus $2 shipping for the Ultimate Communications Handbook 1999. It's available from Electronics Unlimited, 962 North Lake Boulevard, Suite 115, Lake Park, Florida, 33403. KC2AYC in the Thursday night net. I'll stand by for any additional stations that would like to check in. Okay, hearing nothing. Lastly, if you are not a licensed amateur radio operator, but you would like to contribute to the net, you can write to me. If you don't have a computer, you can write to me through the mail. My name is Ed, P.O. Box 308, Cedarhurst, New York, 11516. If you're on the internet, you can write to me at KC2AYC, Kilo Charlie 2, Alpha Yankee Charlie, at ARRL.net. KC2AYC at ARRL.net. If you're on the internet and you feel like listening to some past editions of the net, hopefully some that were a little more exciting than tonight, although I do appreciate those who checked in and the discussions we had. But you can listen to us on Mike's website at www.voiceoftheweb.com, and that's all one word without spaces, www.voiceoftheweb.com. We want to thank Mike and his assistants who volunteer their time and web space to put together the web page and the real audio. Before I close the net, let me confer with N2XOJ on something if he's still here. Alex, if you're still with us, regarding the next eyeball, I was going to just pick Nathan's in Oceanside again, generally because we haven't really gotten a wild turnout out of Suffolk County, and kind of makes it easy for us. We kind of like the atmosphere at Nathan's, and we can hang out there all night. However, yesterday I passed the IHOP on Northern Boulevard that I think you once mentioned. So I hate to drop the ball in your hands, but do you have any preference or any opinion for a June meeting?
I don't have a preference to any particular place except please not in Suffolk County. You pointed out that we didn't have a crowd. Well, we didn't have a crowd. There was a crowd. The noise volume was up in the several hundred decibels. Certainly the Nathan's is very convenient to a lot of guys, and it's comfy, and as you point out, we're allowed to sit there until they close the place, quarter to 11, 11 o'clock or so. I had only mentioned the IHOP on Northern Boulevard, and at one time I had spoken to the manager who was most receptive to the small room meeting in the back, and so I leave that totally to you, my friend. You're the boss, but either one is fine, certainly as far as I personally am concerned. Ed, back to you, N2XOJ.
N2XOJ, KC2AYC. All right, Alex. We'll see. We'll look into that IHOP. I was even thinking of, I know Sunday mornings is out. You probably have to wait there forever. I was wondering how, if anybody'd be interested in like a Saturday morning pancake breakfast get together, even if there's only five or six of us. Well, that would be a good turnout the way things are lately. We don't seem to get the 20 people we used to. But I think kind of now, as far as the Thursday night eyeball down at Nathan's, we'll leave it for down at Ainsden. And I'll look at the calendar real quickly here. June 17th seems to be the date. So the next eyeball will be June 17th at Ainsden's on Long Beach Road in Oceanside. And not looking to make an imposition on anyone else in particular from a different geographic region. We try to divvy it up and make it fair, but the last three outings out to Farmingdale, Islandia, and that other place was at Comac, the ground round. The turnout hasn't been great, so we may as well reward Curtis and Rich and Charlie, who always come out to Nathan and make it a little easy on them this time around. How's that sound, and what are your thoughts on possibly see if I can put together a little breakfast group maybe in a few weeks? Maybe after field day or something. Alex?
Ed, that sounds like a wonderful idea. Please bear in mind, however, that when I spoke to the fellow and he was going to give us sort of a little area to use in the back, that was for, at that time, I believe, a Tuesday evening. Certainly, I think the same would hold for Thursday evening. It would clearly not be acceptable for a Saturday morning, which I'm sure is a madhouse at that place. Sure, that'd be a great idea. We'd just go and just for the camaraderie of the morning.
Is that data burst again? Okay, very good. We'll leave it for Nathan for now. We'll see what the future brings. With that, I'm pretty much tapped out of resources here. There is a good article. I've read it. There's a good article in the July Popular Communications about the Scanning Long Island, which arrived in the mailbox today, so those of you who subscribe should be getting it. I don't know if it's on the newsstands yet, but quite a lengthy article on Scanning Long Island with a lot of good photos, and you might want to pick that up. That being said, that about covers everything I have. I'll stand by one last time for anybody with additional comments, questions, or queries.
Obviously I'm working Thursday night, but old Nathan that you used to hold the meeting at is now something like an Outback Steakhouse or something. That might be an idea for not so much a summer when everybody's busy and not really going to make it, but that might be an idea for maybe a winter get-together.
Okay. I think there was doubling. But Scott, I was able to pull you out with the, I forget, it's not an Outback, but it's just like an Outback Steakhouse. Might be a good idea, maybe, for a special occasion in the winter, you're right. Forget the name of it. Boulder Creek, I think. And I think the other station may have been Alex. Let me drop and see if that was him.
Ed, can you read me at this point?
Yes.
Hey, it was me, and I asked who was the author of the article you referred to on scanning on Long Island. Is it anyone we knew?
Someone you know, and I'd rather not say, but it's someone you know. that's funny. Someone you know using, we'll leave it at that, but, I'm fumbling here. So, I wish I had the article here. I left it on a kitchen table. But if you're going to just hang around a minute or two, I'll go get it when I close up the net, and I'll browse through it.
Checking in.
J2YAW. Good evening, Ed. Nice to hear from you. Sorry I haven't checked in on Mondays. I've frankly haven't been around much lately. Been running here and there. But hope everything is good with you. Still suffering from that QRN problem we spoke about. It went away for a while and it comes and goes. I think it's something over at the airport, but definitely not any of my equipment, something in the area. Ed, how are you?
Fine, Eddie, thanks for asking and I hope you're well. And don't worry about Monday night. I missed you on Tuesday night until Curtis told me that you had moved. So I wanted to come along and check in a little support for your net. And I wanted to ask you about the noise problem. So whatever you found out on that, I'd be curious to know. Say it went away, so I guess somebody is controlling it. Not just an accident, accidental wiring problem. Other than that, I don't have any real traffic for you tonight. So let me just listen in a little bit and see what goes on. I guess most people are watching Hillary and seeing what's going to come down with that. So. Pretty interesting. Back to KC2AYC. This is K2YAW.
K2YAW, KC2AYC in the net. Well, thanks for checking in. About 4 days after your net, and I guess now that was almost 2 months ago where we discussed I was having this problem. I happen to have the radio on, and I was almost at wit's end. I had tried, had come to the conclusion it wasn't any of my equipment. I had tried several different radios, transmitters, as well as scanners on several different antennas, and the problem was still here on VHF high band, and it seemed to be happening on frequencies where the signals coming in were a little weaker. So like Limark, which is real close to me, it didn't happen there. But it happened where the signals were a little further away. Anyway, I was monitoring a QSO for about a half hour, and a noise was in there. And all of a sudden, the noise disappeared. And it was gone for like 2 days. Then it came back for a day. Then it disappeared. And I haven't been on the air much. I've been on the air like once or twice a week, and it's hit or miss. Sometimes it's there, sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's during the day, sometimes it's at nighttime. Also, I noticed TV reception on the one TV in the house that's not hooked up to cable. That's also affected from time to time. So I have to find this neat device that has brand new in a box. The guy was selling a ton of them out loud at Dayton. Manufactured by a company called WaveTech. It's a cable leakage detector. Look, it's they took a Radio Shack crystal scanner, 4 small crystal scanner, and they modified these things, you know, had them manufactured themselves, the cable leakage detector, and a bunch of us bought them. They were only $10 a piece. They were manufactured in 1980, still brand new in the case. From what I understand, they were quite expensive at the time. So I'm going to nose around with that and see if it's the cable, but I think it's something at Kennedy Airport, to tell you the truth, or something else. I don't know. Ed?
Great check-in at 2WW. I'm with you, Tom.
Okay, acknowledge your credit. Can't miss that noise. All right, Eddie, that's a good idea. Definitely. But if you happen to be, mobile on the day that the noise comes back, I would ride over toward Kennedy Airport and try to follow the noise. If you can get a definite location on it, then, then the battle is won, not really won, but at least you know where it's coming from. Whether or not you can do anything about it is another story, but I'm sure you're curious as to where it comes from. So, okay, thanks for that, and I'll listen out for a bit and let you pick up the check-in, K2YAW.
Okay, Ed, hope I didn't get long-winded and time out. Curtis, recognize. Ed, nice talking to you, as always. Now let's pick up Curtis, N2WWM.
Good evening, everybody in the net. Sorry I'm late. I had to listen to the line off the shot. Conflicted this time. Anyway, maybe we'll start a little bit later on. The summer is coming, and I was outside doing a few things, too. So, sorry, Ed. I apologize. A couple things I have over here. Let me drop. I'll give you the frequency of the week. Frequency of the week. Nassau County. Nassau County. 451-7150. Nassau County. 451-7150. Apparently these are the guys that, town of Hempstead or Nassau County, and they go over to the watershed and they check out and make sure everything is A-OK at the watershed. I heard they went to one in Uniondale, and I heard them go to one in Levittown and a few others. I can't remember which one. But every shed has a shed number. So if you're interested in listening to them, I heard them on a Sunday morning on 451-1750. They want to tell us what you hear on that frequency. Also, don't forget that it's Fleet Week. I don't know if I'm coming here late. I don't know if anybody mentioned that. So check out the activity down in the city. A lot of stuff going on on Saturday down in Intrepid. I think Channel 13 is going to have a live broadcast through the day. I think WABC. Also tonight, make sure that you stay up at 1 o'clock. Especially old Ed out there in Suffolk County and those that listen to Art Bell, drop. Art Bell tonight is going to release the secret of the year, of why he's disappearing, and what his problem is, his family matters. So you may want to tune into that sharp at 107 this morning. That's on WABC 77. All the rest of you, DXs know where the other stations are. I'm not going to run those down right now. Okay, got monitoring times. It's really a super issue this June. really a super issue. A lot of local guys that check into the net or mail in comments or queries to the net are listed inside inside the book, including our own Ed. I won't mention who the other guys are. I don't want to blow their cover to WWM.
Don't mention who they are.
They are, well, I guess that's a big enough hint, Ed.
WWM. Anything else?
Oh, yeah. I got that. Section on FRS. Also, Friday night, WBCQ. Listen to that. The latest and the greatest. What's going on? And on Saturday night, on Saturday night, WWCR. A lot of programming. Got to listen to on Saturday night. We've got Glenn Hauser at the 0200 UTC. Kemp Communications at 2:30. Spectrum, Mark Emanuel. That's a great show. At 300 to 400 UTC. Down the dial, HTJB. GX Party Line. One that Hank and 2GCN used to listen a lot. And if you went to what's going on in the DX Party Line, this is where it's happening. Drop. HCJB, DX Party Line, you can hear at 100 UTC. And it also repeats at 400 UTC on frequency of 9745 and 12015. And you really want to be a winner. I haven't checked this radio show out. Spain Radio Waves. I haven't heard that one. That's at 500 UTC and 6055. And, maybe somebody may want to tell me what they want. They talk about Spain Radio Waves. Friday nights, I listen to WCQ. Also tonight, still have some time for an hour. One of our Limewalk members is down in the off the coast of Florida, about 600 miles off the coast of Florida, on an island, and he's working the local ham on 14285. That's on sideband, and he's on code at 14045 at 10 o'clock. I was listening to him last night, and they were coming in like gangbusters. I'm a local guy here on Long Island, and as far as Canada, I checked. And don't forget to listen to the pirate stations over the weekend, starting on Friday night. Into Memorial Day weekend. A lot of pirate radio stations pop up on a 3-day weekend. Let me give it back to Ed and run down the Hamfest. To the net. TWWM, back to net.
N2WWM, KC2AY2. Very good, Curtis. Before I forget, On last night's net, this isn't really radio related, but you mentioned that about the PD aggressively enforcing seatbelts. This morning, I was northbound on Woodhaven Boulevard at Rockaway Boulevard. They actually had, next to the UA movie theater, they set up a roadblock, and they had three cars there, three patrol units, and they were slowing traffic down and looking in people's windows and then waving them on as they saw they had seatbelts on. And then when I got to the Midtown Tunnel, the Triborough Bridge and Tunnel Authority people were doing the same thing. At the toll booths, they were looking in people's windows. They had their officers out on foot, walking up and down the lanes as people were coming into the toll. Now, there's an outfit I wouldn't want to be with. You get all the abuse, but you don't get to carry the gun. And, Curtis, did you get the July PopCon? It came in the mail today.
Don't think I saw that one laying around yet. I'll be on the lookout for that one.
K2YAW, the question.
Hey, K2YAW, recognize. Okay, Curtis, because they mention you in it on page 12. Thought I'd point that out. Alright, let's go to Ed.
Curtis, what's the caller of the person that's working off of Florida?
Why is
WTC2AYC. Now, I'm 2 issues behind. I can't catch up on my magazine reading. I'll have to look at that, Ed. So on the April monitoring times. I'm either going to have to read faster. Never mind, I won't say it on the radio. I was going to make reference to where I do a lot of my reading. Guess I haven't been spending too much time in there lately. Alright, Curtis, regarding AMSAS, I already ran down the information for the Limarks in Mid-Island. Do you have anything additional?
An hour coming up.
The frequency
looking for the watershed. Was that 451.750?
Yes, it was, Ed.
Okay, I'll program that in. Thanks. All right, there was another station in there. Go ahead.
That was me. I just wanted to say, can I see you ready? Nice job on the net. Curtis, did you hear the Art Bell show when he was, when some guy was talking about the flying snake? Something tells me he's running out of interesting topics. They're really reaching out there, and I wonder where it gets these people. That was pretty much off the wall there, and I didn't stick around too long for that show. Back to you.
I think I'm going to send away for that thing in Arizona called the Cause, C-A-U-S, Cause. The guy that's going to take this thing to court on the other night. That was pretty good. Yeah, I don't know what the website is, so. Oh, I think it's www.ca.caus.org. And they just give them a weekly or a daily update on this thing. Got the UFO, taking the government to court or something. Arizona or something like that. It ought to be, it ought to be interesting. So he's going to probably hop on this one for a while. And put that guy on the other night.
Yeah, I heard that. That was pretty good. And you could reach him through artbell.com. And, you know, you have links to all the people that were on his show, you know, recently. So, I didn't know you were on the web. You were. When did you get into that?
Didn't get into it yet. I'm brushing up and finding out the window. Not yet. I got a few things to do with my test of shopping away. Have a good weekend. I don't know what to do, a little bit of George and Jeff yet. I'm going to check in for coming from. He's only going to be on for another half hour, then he's going to go on CW. So I have to brush up on that too. I start my CW class on Saturday.
Hey, really good. Okay. Just quick, I wanted to tell you about the new TV commercial that's going to come on. It's aimed at cats, and it will show like a minute of cats looking at fish, you know, something good for dinner, and different noises that cats make. So, it's an actual commercial sponsored by, I think, Whiskers Cat Food. So look out for that one. I'll see you later, Curtis. Have a good night, and if I don't catch you, you know, have a good weekend and all. Be careful on the road. Back to you.
Yeah, I guess they're all over the place. On the Middlebrook Parkway over by the shopping area. They get people over there one day last week. Down in Brooklyn on 39th Street exit ramp on the BQE. Malvern, local over here. Hudson Avenue, Franklin Avenue. Calling people over into a private lot. Believe it or not, I even seen a sign that said, course, not taking any. He's on one of those solar panel type signs on one of the roadways. I saw that today. I can't recall where I actually saw that sign. Now let me go. No excuses. It's the WWM. Ed?
Okay, copy all of that. Your radio got real quiet now. So keep it that way. Take care. See you later. J2YAW will be clear and listening out. Bye-bye.
Hey, Curtis. Stop up to my repeater and see me sometime. Stranger, you. KB2YTF. Enjoy your DX listening. You're acknowledged there, Ed. I'm usually on around quarter after 8 to about 9 o'clock, and then I'm on again from about 4:30 to approximately 5:30, Tuesday through Sunday. So I'm floating around, and Ed, it's not my repeater. It's the Westchester VHF Club. That we're talking about. Curtis is correct. It is normally a very quiet repeater. You get a small group on during drive time sometimes, but other than that, it's pretty quiet.
Thursday night, scan a shortwave net.